The new Super Beats Heart Chews Advanced is now supercharged with CoQ10. Support your healthy CoQ10 levels and blood pressure with 2 chews a day. Visit RadioBeats.com and save 15% with promo code DEAL.
This is Oklahoma Perspective. Brad Johnson is the founder of Eden Village, a unique idea to address homelessness in the Tulsa area by building tiny homes. KRMG's Russell Mills talks to Johnson to find out how this new idea is going to work.
Eden Village. So first off, I will tell you that a lot of people have a picture in their heads of what it means to be homeless. Mm-hmm. That does not necessarily reflect the reality of homelessness in this country. And I'll start with, a lot of homeless people have jobs. And I think that shocks people.
Some do. And there's different areas of homelessness, as I've learned. Our focus is on what we call the chronically homeless. By definition, they've been without a home for at least a year, many for 5 and 10 years, as I've gotten to know some of these folks. So the other folks are transitional homelessness. They bounce in and out of homelessness. It may be more of a job loss or economic loss than maybe another driver, which is the loss of family. That's really the number one driver of homelessness in our country, is the sudden loss of family for whatever reason, sometimes by poor decisions, sometimes by nobody's fault. They lose that family support, and then you throw in economic challenges, then you throw in alcohol, drug addiction, physical problems, and then mental health. It's just a whole mess of a lot of bad stuff that kind of interacts with a person's world.
And look, the world's become more expensive to live in.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you look to be around the same age as I am, and I do remember when one income was enough to, mm-hmm. you know, to live. A family could make it by on one income.
Right.
Those days are gone for most folks.
Yeah.
And so it's I guess, narrows that border between people who can maintain a home and mm-hmm. people who end up in this position.
Right.
But you said, you know, you're kind of focused on the folks who have really struggled, like for years.
Right, exactly.
All right, so the solution?
Well, there's no magic bullet.
Right.
And there's really, I try not to say that there's a solution to homelessness, because there's really not. The factors that drive people into homelessness are not going away, unfortunately. Family issues, economic, mental health, drug abuse, mental issues. You know, they're unfortunately going to be here to stay. But we got to do better. I mean, I started to become convicted of this a couple of years ago as I began volunteering at some good local organizations, John 316. I've supported a lot of these folks financially for years. And then I began to have had the time to really get some skin in the game. Got to know some folks, got to know them, great organization, Day Center for the Homeless. I haven't volunteered there, but I've gotten to know those folks. They do great work. City Lights, I helped them some a year or so ago. Good organization, do a lot of good things. In fact, doing a very similar tiny home model as we are doing. So we hope that both of us need to make this happen. Merchant is another great one that serves the folks on the front line. So I've learned quite a bit. I still have a lot to learn because I'm only 2 years into this, but I know enough that I know what I need to do to help make a difference.
And so what you're doing is trying to build these tiny homes. And does this require you to, you know, acquire land?
Yep.
You know, and then you got to find a contractor who can build these things. Then you got to assemble the material. I mean, just how much of all this are you? Are you the chief?
Well, the land was huge. I began looking for the land over a year ago, and the parameters are pretty tight. You can't just plop one of these down anywhere, in spite of what some people are saying. It has to be zoned properly. That's huge. It has to be at least 5 acres or so. In our case, we found 17 acres, so we've got more than what we need, which is great. It has to be on a city bus route because most folks, 90%, don't have vehicles, so they need to have access to transportation. And then a big factor for us is it had to be affordable, and it had to be in an area where it would be a positive addition to that community, because we want to do our part to help improve the community as we will. And as these tiny home communities do. It's proven that they actually add to the property values. Crime goes way down. ER visits go way down, and everybody wins, especially the people that are living in a house win because they're off the streets and they're no longer homeless. They're just like you and me. They have a home. They're renting it. So
how do we explain that phenomenon of tiny home neighborhoods actually sort of, if not gentrifying, but stabilizing maybe an area that's had trouble?
Like our land is in an area, 17 acres, borders the Arkansas River on one side, the new Gilchrist Turnpike on the east side. It's been vacant since Tulsa was a city. Never been used for any. Grass was 6 feet tall. Trash was collected. Homeless people were actually camping out there in an area in the woods. So we're taking that and cleaning it up, taking 63 people off the streets and putting them into a safe, dignified, permanent home. That's not transition housing. That's another ballgame. Our clients are people that are in the most need of help. They've been on the streets for years. They're going to have mental health issues, physical health challenges. They're going to have, not all of them, but a good majority are going to have issues because one can't live on the streets for a couple of years without developing some of these symptoms. It's just going to happen is the reality. So we can't just give them a key and provide a house. We charge rent. That's not a handout. $350 a month rent, bills paid, which is a great rate for the quality of home that they will live in. So, and we'll have expectations and so forth, boundaries, but we will bring the services to them. We've got to surround them with all the help that they need from service providers, mental health, physical health, substance abuse, Celebrate Recovery. I just spoke with some folks this morning, and they're excited about coming in and setting up shop in our community center, which will be a hub of the activity of the whole community. So it's all about relationships. Like anything else, you're going to have success. The likelihood of success are going to be more if it's done within the scope of a community and relationships and with family. Because remember, these folks, by and large, they don't have the family support that we have. And that's what, in most cases, got them into the situation in the first place.
Kind of brings it back full circle, because you were saying that, losing family is a lot of times what leads people into these circumstances. So here we are creating a new family atmosphere for them to feel comfortable and feel supported in.
Yeah.
So you said 17 acres. I'm trying to picture this in my head. So 17 acres with tiny homes. Mm-hmm. You said you're going to house 63 people. So does that mean 63 tiny houses?
Yes.
Okay, and then a central community center, which is sort of like, and I grew up in a mobile home court. I am honest to gosh Montana trailer trash.
Yeah.
And we had a little building in the middle of all that, where folks would hang out, play volleyball, whatever, plug in a boombox and have a cookout. Mm-hmm. So I assume this will be just a little more sophisticated than that. This will be like a place where people can relax inside.
Yeah, yeah.
So describe when we say tiny home, what? If 63 of them on 17 acres, that tells you that they're not taking up a lot of real estate each.
Right.
But what do they look like? How does that work?
Well, folks can actually see those because we actually have two set up and one more coming as model homes in Tulsa, because we're trying to bring our concept to the community to educate, because it's a new concept. So we have one set up at 71st. Just east of Lewis at Christ the Redeemer Lutheran Church in their parking lot. We have one at Jinx Care Point on 91st, just east of Delaware. And Saturday, we're supposed to have one delivered to Abiding Harvest Church in South Broken Arrow. They're one of our first church sponsors. They're sponsoring a home. They've raised the money, and so they're going to provide the funds for a home. They want to show this home to their community, plus their church community and the community where they are. And then when comes time when the resident moves into that home, it'd be later on this fall, maybe winter, before that actually happens. And that's the best case scenario if everything falls into line, but that's our goal. Then we will encourage them, even expect them to provide what we call a home team, people from their church community will go in and become the family that person has not had. Teach them life skills, hang out with them, take them to a ball game, come show them how to cook a healthy meal, which they don't know how to do. They've had food given to them for years. So teach them how to cook a healthy meal, sit down and share a dinner with them. So develop those relationships that our homeless friends so desperately need, because they lack good relationships.
So this brings up a couple of questions, one of which, you know, is that essentially what you want to do, or is that essentially how it works? You find a church or another organization or a sponsor who's willing to pony up the dough to mm-hmm. put one of these houses up, but also take some time Absolutely. To take responsibility for the human being that's right. going to be inhabiting that yep. house and yep. kind of helping them adjust and move forward.
Right. Now, raising money is difficult, I must say, from the start.
It's a new game. I can
earn business money by providing a service, but it's a little bit different animal when you're dependent upon donations. But in another sense, it's a lot easier for some people to write a check than to go get their boots on and get skin in the game and get in the game. That's what we want. We need both.
Right, and that's what I was saying. It's a tough ask.
Right.
So are you getting a good response from folks, or are you still kind of early on in the process and still trying to figure out?
We've only decided to do this last May is when we decided to form a new nonprofit. This wasn't on my bucket list a few years ago, I can assure you. But here I am at 69 years of age, should be retired, but I'm repurposed. And this is a calling. I'm fully engaged in this. We're having some success. You know, we've got the land. We've got four homes ordered. They're actually manufactured in the Osho currently and brought here on a truck. And we had one at the home show a few weeks ago. People loved it when they toured. It had thousands in. We've got another little home show coming up in a few weeks at Tulsa Fairgrounds. We'll have another home there as a model for people to see. And as I mentioned, there are three locations in Tulsa. We're trying to staff those with either myself or volunteers most mornings in late afternoon, so people can come in and tour them. Doesn't take long, you know, small house. They can see what they're like. But just as important, learn more about our vision of making Tulsa be a city where no one sleeps outside. That's what we're trying to do.
And you were telling me, again, before we started recording, you said people were coming to look at it and go, wow, where can I buy one for me?
Yeah, exactly.
And
most people,
you had to explain to them, that's not what we're doing.
Yeah, like at the home show, and then as we've had those out in the community, most of the people come in and they're amazed at how nice it is. They have this perception it's a junky little tiny house. No, it's nice. It's finished out just as nice as any other home in
so
Tulsa.
Give me a tour. Walk me through one.
You come into a common area, kind of a living room, and we have a little love seat or couch. It's got a little kitchen, refrigerator, stove. You walk into the bedroom. It's all ADA compliant. They're sprinkled, and they're hooked up as triplexes with front porches all facing the other way. So by code, to meet the zoning requirements, which is multifamily medium density, we were required to put them in as triplexes, which is fine. We like that concept. It makes them more efficient. And then it's got a nice bathroom back in the corner off the bedroom, all ADA compliant, real wide doors and so forth. So people say, hey, they're cute. I could live here. And, you know, I could live in one, but, you know, I'd probably have to build one for my wife next door. I don't know if we could both fit in there, but our residents are single anyway. 90% of our homeless friends are single anyway because they've lost their family. That's why they're homeless. In most cases, they have lost their family. So we only really cater to the 90% that are in that category. Unfortunately, we have to say no to folks that have children or couples.
You're not going to fit in that.
Yeah, I mean, that's good. Plus, you just can't mix those two types of residents in a community setting like this. So believe me, we have plenty of, quote, customers out there on the streets that we will be able to say yes to. In fact, the city a week or two ago released their big housing report and spent thousands and thousands of dollars on this, basically to give us some data, which I already knew. We need a lot more homes than we've got. But they said they put a number, 500 units, either an apartment or a new deal, a tiny home, 500 are needed today to meet the needs just of our chronically homeless, and not just the other transitional homeless, not just the low-income people that are having trouble even with a full-time job making a rent payment. That's a need also. But just the chronically people, chronically homeless people, the most dire of situations, we need 500. So where are those going to come from?
Behind the eight ball.
Yeah.
You're saying to catch up, we need 500 right now today.
Absolutely.
And goodness only knows what the economy or the future holds in store.
Yeah. So, our goal, we're going to build 63. And we hope that by next year, they'll all be done and we'll be fully staffed. We'll have directors. We'll have volunteers. Again, we do a lot more than just give them a home. That's important. But then we surround them with all the services and needs and family. We'll have a little farm where they'll be growing stuff and selling stuff. We'll have chickens. We'll have goats. And we'll get them outside. I believe that's therapeutic. That's free mental health, basically, is getting them outside, enjoying the sunshine, digging in the dirt, taking a walk. We've got a city park right next door to us where they can walk out the gate into a city park. Maybe we can get the park folks to ante up and put us a pickleball court or something in there. That would be cool.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. The outside is a whole lot more enjoyable when you've got an inside to go back to.
Absolutely.
And it sounds like you guys are building homes, but then trying to help these folks build lives.
Build their lives, yeah.
And that's the key here is to me, is to find a solution that's less than temporary. That does give a person...
Yeah.
Okay, I've found a place. Yeah. This is going to be me. And just make sure I'm picturing things again. You said triplex, so I'm picturing like three of them, but one with the door facing east, one west, and one north.
Absolutely,
kind with of an open side on the fourth side, which would presumably sort of point towards that central area.
Yeah, I mean, they all, and you won't know that you have a shared wall with that neighbor at all. You'll just butt up against them. And research has shown that our homeless folks do much better when they don't have a shared wall, when they can live out and have some privacy.
Right.
And again, I mean, I was in the green industry for 32 years. I know the value of green grass and nice landscaping and how therapeutic and how much value is. And I can promise you we'll have the greenest grass in the whole neighborhood in that particular area. So, and I will hire, I'll teach some of our residents how to do that, and we'll pay them and earn a dignified income. And I'm sure I could probably, if things go well, get them a job in just about anywhere in the green industry in our town, because they're like everybody else. They're scrounging for labor. In fact, long term, people have the misconception that, these homeless, they just need to get a job. It's a little more complicated than that. If you've been in trauma for 4, 5, or 10 years, you're not just going to go get a job at QT and be work 40 hours a week they've got to heal first, and they've got to deal with the trauma, and that's best done within the confines of a safe, dignified home first, and then you work on the other stuff. And eventually, we're going to be all about getting them into the workforce for them to where they can make a dignified income. But think of it this way. Tulsa has a kind of a hidden labor force roaming the streets right now, probably about 3,000. The official count is less than that, but people on the street will tell you that in reality, it's a lot more than that. Can't count them all. They do a great job of getting the data, but there's...
Can't knock on their door.
So anyway, just imagine if we took just half of those people, 1,500 people off the streets where they're costing the community $45,000 a year on average, and putting them into the workforce where they can be a contributor to our economy rather than a detriment. That alone will be a huge benefit to our community, let alone the decreased medical expenses of sending them to the ER, the police and fire costs and trash pickup and all that stuff. But the 63 people living in that home, those are the ones and their families that are going to be the most beneficiaries of this. So it's a win-win-win in my mind.
Brad Johnson, founder of Eden Village, Tiny Homes for the Homeless. Special thanks to KRMG's Russell Mills for the interview. This is Oklahoma Perspective for Cox Media Group. I'm Bert Williams.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.